Hello, everyone. I am William Del Pilar, and welcome to Points on the Board, where we dive into the stories shaking up sports and culture. Today, we unpack the WNBA's roller coaster. First, Caitlin Clark's injury tank ratings by 55%, exposing the league's star-driven fragility and its failure to continually shield her from racial attacks. Then there's an update, and we will dive back into Brittany Griner's viral fallout fiasco, where her alleged racist jab at Clark sparked denials and double standard debates. Then we'll move on to the Tennessee Titans' bizarre Father's Day post, tossing moms into the mix. Obviously, that ignited a gender and tradition firestorm debate. Finally, my least favorite Cubano. Hell, I wonder if this man even speaks Spanish. Dan Le Batard's wild claims that Trump's ICE raids aim to whiten America get a reality check. From who? This conservative Latino. Beta carajo, gordo. Buckle up for a packed show. But before we get to that, I must say I am glad to be back to let you know I've been MIA here for a few months. To those who are show regulars, we switch our live streaming provider, as I've been stating the other two shows, every show I've come back to. God bless America, this restream or this live stream provider has made a big and sold out. And what happens when you sell out to a corporation? Whoop! The prices go up, and this one's were jacked up exponentially. So we changed providers, and with that change, I ran into technical difficulties. So I want to say we got a maybe 6, 7, 8 podcasts, not counting clips or shorts, and probably at least a dozen different podcasters from various locations. Well, nobody had any problems but me. Go figure. So after a few weeks of trying to figure it out, they actually really haven't. It just started working normally, and I'll take it. So we're going to keep an eye on that, but I am back, and I am glad to be back. My last points on the board had to deal with is the NBA rig, with the fact that Cooper Flagg will be going to the Dallas Mavericks, barring anything unforeseen, which I would love to hear him go, you know, I'm going to stick around for college for one more year. I believe there's a fix in the NBA. This is just nonsense over the last 30 years in watching the NBA, shaking your head at various storylines that are beyond plausible and impossible. I used to think boxing was the most fixed sport in America. Now I think that wrestling is more realistic than the NBA. That's how bad it's gotten. How do you trade Luka to the Los Angeles Lakers for as little as you got back, then lie and said, we had to keep it on the down low? If you're going to get rid of the guy, does it matter? He's got to go where you send him. One of the biggest, I don't know. There's no way Adam Silver did not know that. And then for those same Mavericks to all of a sudden get the first pick overall with what could be a generational talent in Cooper Flagg makes you go, But that was the last podcast I had. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get some business out of the way. Please, obviously, as I always say, please make sure you like and share this podcast at the end. And bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, where you'll find this podcast, my other conservative political podcast, my cultural podcast is over there as well as the rest of our great podcasters that are libertarian, football, basketball, sport-wise as well. You can also follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. All right, now let's get into it. I want to open up with Caitlin Clark's injury exposes the WNBA's fragile star-driven market. Look, I'm sorry, my friends. There's only one star in the WNBA. That is Caitlin Clark. So the Indiana Fever obviously their superstar, Caitlin Clark, she suffered a left quad strain. And this was back in May 24th, we're in the 16th. And it sidelined her for several games, and it triggered a massive drop in WNBA viewership. And she's returned. We haven't got any ratings yet from her return. I will provide those next week once they start to come in. But first, a little bit about the injury. She sustained a strained left quadriceps, nothing major, but bad enough to keep her off the court. And it was during the game against New York Liberty, and it forced her out of action. Ironically, she came back against New York Liberty. So she missed five games from the 28th of May to June 10th, 6 days ago. And it was at that period of about 2 weeks. And she returned on June 14th, just a few days ago, for a nationally televised game against the New York Liberty. And they were undefeated, and she ended that. My God, it was like the first 30 seconds, like three threes. Boom. And this woman was shooting from half court, and she's like slinging it up. You're like, oh, my God. You know? And her coach said she was, quote, ready to roll, unquote. Yes. That was putting it mildly. I don't watch the WNBA. I tried watching, my friend. I tried. But I love the business of sports, so I'm always on the up and up in terms of ratings, viewerships, tickets, merchandising, and as well as the games themselves. But I tried watching it, and it's just an unwatchable sport. She's phenomenal. She's in 1 year, she's taken the WNBA and being a laughingstock in how they pass and play, too. You're like, damn, she could play in the NBA with the way she passes as a point guard. But again, I'm being a little bit facetious there. But let's talk about the WNBA's ratings before Clark's injury. Before her injury, nationally televised Indiana Fever games averaged about 1.81 million viewers. So about 1.8 million viewers. And obviously that's fueled by Clark's star power. In fact, the season opener against the Chicago Sky, which is a rivalry that the WNBA would love to see happen, except Angel Reese is about, I mean, she would be one of these high draft picks that bust out of the NBA. She's that bad. In fact, she's trying to trademark knee bounder. And the irony of this is people were making fun of her, and it's not a term used as a term of endearment, and she wants to trademark it, the capture. If I'm the person who created that, I just fight her in court just to piss her off. But anyway, the season opener was against the Chicago Sky, obviously featuring Clark and Angel Reese, drew 2.7 million viewers, the most watched WNBA regular season game in 27 years, or 25 years. And that was not because of Angel Reese. It was because of Caitlin Clark. So in her first four games, she also played pretty well, averaged 19 points, 9.3 assists, 6 rebounds, and she's just a must-watch talent. I mean, that's all you can say about her. Now, during her absence, some people were calling it a collapse. The televised ratings plummeted 55%, and that's per the Nielsen data. The Fever saw a 53% decline, averaging just 847,000 viewers. So they couldn't even hit the 1 million mark. And obviously, 847,000 viewers compared to 1.8 million. Now, you know, I got to be honest. Some of these women are hardworking. They don't have a bigoted or racist bone in their body like the ones that Monica McNutt or Jemele Hill talk about and want to be highlighted. So that's got to be tough on their ego, and I feel for those few women in the league. So now it's becoming a rivalry, but the rematch drew 1.9 million viewers on CBS, down from the 2.7 million, and how many of those viewers did not realize that Caitlin Clark is not playing? Probably quite a few. You know, so it was still the third most watched game of the season. But the point is that's a drastic drop. And as the season would have played out more and more, the drop would have been more, more, and more. So, why do we talk about Caitlin Clark so much? Well, the truth of the matter is she's a generational talent. She's a multi-generational talent. She truly is right now slowly, I don't say slowly, but she's becoming the Michael Jordan of the WNBA in terms of superstar status. In fact, I would agree with some individuals out there like Jason Whitlock and a few others. She is arguably America's most recognized talent right now. It's certain players transcend their sport. So if you go, and I did this test in my basketball podcasters, the buzzer beaters were not happy because they're big Golden State fans. They said, oh, no. Stephen Curry's a superstar. I'm like, no, he's not. He may be a superstar in the NBA world, but he's not a superstar in the true sense of that term. Michael Jordan is a superstar. Shaq is a superstar. Kobe, maybe. These are players who transcend their sport. When you say their name, everybody knows who they are, regardless of what part of the world you're in. And yes, Kobe has not transcended that. You may not like hearing it, but it's the truth. Very few people do. Even Wayne Gretzky didn't transcend that. He was a superstar. Again, people who you just say their name, everybody knows them. In Hollywood, Tom Cruise, you say his name, everybody knows him, regardless if they ever seen a Tom Cruise movie. Michael Jordan, regardless if they ever watch him play. Shaq. Shaq is one of those asterisks, those outliers. The name, how big he was, how people-friendly he is. You know, Mike Tyson's another one, you know. So I remember when I sat there and said, no, Stephen Curry isn't. So I live, and across the street from where I live, it used to be a trailer 30 years ago selling knickknacks. Now it's a damn strip mall there. You know, but I go there. Excuse me. They know me. And I talk to the guys. I'll hang out there for a little while on certain days, just, you know, when I'm shopping, talking to the guys. I would ask people coming in and out, do you know who Stephen Curry is? No. I'd say it was maybe 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10 who knew who he was. Then I would say Michael Jordan. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know who Michael Jordan is. He's a basketball player. You know, and you have to understand where I live in is a lot of Latinos, a lot of illegals down there, a lot of legals, a lot of first generation, immigrant class. So it was perfect for testing. Caitlin Clark is not at that level yet, but she's approaching it. That's how big the notoriety is for her. And there is a lack of league support to protect her, defend her, monetize her, market her. And the WNBA has failed over and over against some racially charged attacks from players and analysts. Angel Reese, Monica McNutt, and others. Jemele Hill, Ryan Clark. Despite the fact she is the league's biggest draw. So why is this? Because she's white. She's faced aggressive treatment. And that wasn't a mean, ugly foul. And Angel Reese is – the thing about Angel Reese, she's kind of exposing herself to who and what she is. Kind of like a – she. It's like Dennis Rodman could actually play ball to a degree. Wasn't a great shooter, but he had defensive skills, rebounding skills. All Angel Reese does is me-bound. In fact, it got so bad she me-bounded her own tweet. She said something on her tweet. Then like days or weeks later, she quote-tweeted it and said, exactly. She rebounded her own tweet. Think about that. You know? But, you know, ESPN, speaking of McNutt, she suggested Clark's popularity is tied to her being a white girl from middle America. Yes, Monica, that's correct. It's no different than you liking the black girls because that's who you identify with. Are you people stupid? Yes, you are. There's something called homophily. It's where people relate to and gravitate to their own kind. It is an innate human nature, maybe genetic, belief system in us. Whites will congregate with whites. Blacks with blacks. Latinos with Latinos. Indians with Indians. Native Americans with Native Americans. Germans with Germans. Spaniards with Spaniards. It doesn't have as much to do with color as much as culture. Panamanians with Panamanians, Puerto Ricanos with Puerto Ricanos, right? Latinos, they y'all throw us all in one bunch. Only in America are American blacks thrown into one massive culture, despite the fact, and that's because they don't have a true culture themselves. They don't know, most of them don't even know what part of Africa they're from unless they've done that DNA test, whereas you go to Africa and they have all their various cultures. You know, so McNutt is right, but she's saying it as if it's racist when it's part of human nature. It shows her ignorance and her own racist belief because she does that with black WNBA players but refuses to acknowledge that's racist but accuses Clark fans of being racist. They're doing the same thing. Neither one of them is racist, but McNutt wants to play the race card. She says her fan base is racially motivated. Well, when you have McNutt claiming that the WNBA is black and queer, and that's how it better stay, and you see 17 flagrant fouls against Clark her rookie season, it makes things that make you go, And when basketball NBA players are defending them or defending her, it speaks quite a bit. Yeah. Jemele Hill and Monica McNutt are too clear cut. It's not up for debate. Racist. You know, figures like Hill and McNutt, they resent Clark's prominence as a white player in a predominantly black and queer league, as I said. And McNutt's comments hinting at a preference for maintaining that demographic focus creates more hate. McNutt is one creating racial hatred. Jemele Hill is one creating racial hatred. Brittany Griner, who we'll talk about in a moment, is doing the same. And what does the league do? They don't do anything. The Mystics owner came out after Clark was on the cover of Time, or was a Time Woman of the Year or Athlete of the Year. It should be on the NBA, WNBA. Why is it just Clark? She's never said anything like that before. Things that make you go, the racist owner. So obviously conservative voices are sticking up for her here at Grownlings Media. I stick up for him. Outkick, there's a lot of pushback. Jason Whitlock with the Blaze does a lot of pushback. So there are people out there pushing back. And yes, we do accuse the WNBA of ignoring the racism against Clark. Despite the fact she's the cash cow. So what's this got to do with ratings? Well, it's obvious. There's no Clark. Nobody wants to watch y'all. It's that simple. And they hate her more for that. Despite the fact they should be picking her up and going, hey, you the cash cow, baby girl. Let's take care of you. Yeah, let me get that selfie with you. Now, Clark has bent the knee. That's another reason I won't ever support the WNBA. She bent the knee and said it was her white privilege. White privilege is a derogatory statement. If there's any privilege that we've seen, it's black privilege. Since Obama got elected, because if you would say anything, you'd be accused of being a racist. Obama got a lot of policies passed because anybody who disagreed with him was viewed as racist. And they pushed and promoted that, especially the media when it came to Obamacare. Now, Clark has come out and said, hey, there is no place for hate in the WNBA because she's too much of a coward to speak the truth. And in her defense, she doesn't want to get knocked out of the game. And she doesn't want to upset the people she sees every day. But there's got to come a point where somebody's going to flagrantly foul her and knock her out for a while. It's coming, people. If they don't, they being the WNBA, start protecting her. And by protecting, I mean treat her as they do others. They don't give her the cause, like we see quite a bit of time. They give her fouls that aren't deserved. It seems as if even the refs are on her and don't like her. Now, she's a tough player. She's like Larry Bird. You know, Larry Bird gave as good as he got. And nothing to do with race, just basketball trash talk. So Clark is there. But she led the league with 17 flagrant fouls because they were jealous of her. They didn't like her. But she's also lost support as well. But regardless, ratings dropped 55%. And her return, the WNBA has another chance to capitalize on her star power. Will they understand what they have? Because they saw what happens when they don't have her. And those ratings, they're lucky it was not quite 2 weeks. Because they would have gone lower and lower and lower. And the NBA owners that are footing about 60%+ of this league, eventually they're going to say, enough. Two owners have already come out and said, enough. Why do we keep footing this garbage? And I got to be honest, the more of a beatdown she takes, there's going to come a point where somebody's going to offer her, we'll give you $20 million a year. Come on over to Europe, and she's going to take it. The league's failure to shield her from racially motivated attacks, it also risks alienating fans more and more and undermining its biggest asset. The only team that will not suffer There's two teams that will not suffer. The Indiana Fever, who she plays for, and whoever they're playing, because those ticket sales will continually rock. Let's stay with the WNBA and move on to Brittany Griner's foul-out fiasco. Well, Griner had a viral clip after fouling out against the Indiana Fever on May 20th. And she plays for the Atlanta Dream. She's a four. She fouled out during the game against him. It was in D.C., not in Indiana. And there was a video that captures her saying something like, "bleeping white girl." And, of course, all the media said, no, she said bleeping white car. No. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry could read those lips and go, "bleeping white girl." Again, Monica McNutt, Jamil Hill, they push and they're proud of the fact it's a black and queer league. And it's also a very racist and bigoted league, as we saw. See, what I'm not afraid to say, what Jason Whitlock's not afraid to say, what Outkick and Clay Travis and Bobby Burdack aren't afraid to say, it's racism. And until we, as a minority, I'm Latino. My grandmother was called the N-word. I got most of my cousins. I've got that traditional brown skin. I got the Spaniard from my Puerto Rican side. And I know it. I'll never be subjugated to what my grandmother had to deal with being called the N-word. That's family. So I take all this seriously. And we must come together as Americans to stop this. But instead, Jamil Hill, Monica McNutt, the WNBA, the Mystics owner, they're all okay with this tribalism. Why is it beyond me? Well, it's a grift. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. I can talk about other things on sports that are more fun than this, but it's important to bring you this message so you are armed with the knowledge needed to combat this. So there was no WNBA investigation on this. It should have been. They have two or three times Angel Reese has been involved in investigations for the WNBA against Fever fans. Nothing has come about because there's been made up lies. Here's one, you got video evidence. And no WNBA investigation is confirmed. Her first step, see, this is how you know she's lying. Mum's a word. Nobody asks her about it. Nobody says anything. Eventually she goes, "oh, I can't remember," quote, "can't remember," unquote. When questioned, she said, and she's talking about the frustration with the foul that led to her benching. That's what she said. Then asked again, the illustration, no, I remember now. "I never said bleeping white girl." Quote, "I did not say that," unquote. She's lying, in my opinion. And she goes, "if you watch the clip, you can see I was talking to the refs." No, you weren't. You were just talking out in the open. You were pissed off. All of us who have played sports, we've been in that position before. We just don't sit there and say, "white girl, black girl, Latino," using words you're not supposed to. And she suggested the audio might be misinterpreted. No, you're just flat out lying, in my opinion. Remember, Griner, she is a woman who knowingly took weed, THC oil, not weed, into Russia knowing it was illegal, and then played the victim. And then Joe Biden, being the duck with the C he is, gave up a weapons dealer for her. This guy's already gone out and made his mark. What do we get? We got a racist in return. But the whole purpose of this topic is, again, Griner showed who and what she is, but it's also the double standard. Again, WNBA investigations into alleged racist behavior by Fever fans toward Angel Reese, but nothing from Brittany Griner incident. And obviously, we all saw the video. There's credibility on Griner's denial. She lied, in my opinion. And then the memory lapse. I can't remember. That's her agent says. Say you can't remember. I can't remember. Agent says, "that's not working. They're still slamming you. Just deny it." "I said no such thing about that bleeping white girl." So the WNBA silence fuels speculation of tolerating and encouraging racial hatred and bigotry towards Clark. That's what it boils down to. And that's why people are angry. It's not just white America. You know, Jason Whitlock's another. If you go on timelines, you'll see plenty of Latinos and blacks, you know, saying the same thing. What the hell? And why they want to see the WNBA succeed. I'm indifferent. If it succeeds, it succeeds. If it doesn't, it's no big loss to me. I think these girls will just go on and play over in Europe. I guarantee you this, if Brittany Griner goes back to Russia and plays, or wherever she goes, gets busted again, she ain't coming out. Brittany Griner, I believe she did say that. I believe she's not being truthful. I believe she's lying. That's what I believe. We all saw the video. You judge for yourself. And to the WNBA, protect your star players. Don't be abusive and give them all the calls, things like that. But protect them from injury. And maybe clean up your racist and bigotry that you're allowing to take over that league that's making it unwatchable. 26, 27 years of straight losses. Caitlin Clark took it to its highest peak last year. And she still has more a bigger ceiling. But y'all still lost $40 million. God. And to make it worse, the WNBA commissioner, she's the one who takes credit for the popularity of the league. Not Caitlin. It's not Caitlin. It's me. It's mom, WNBA. She's another idiot. All right, let's move on. The Tennessee Titans Father's Day post sparks debate over gender and tradition. So let's talk about the Titans' controversial Father's Day post this past Sunday and where it falls in the culture war wars. Because I was like, what the hell? So the Titans posted an image of a lawnmower on their field with Happy Father's Day. And it was written in grass, and it was accompanied by the text. Happy Father, quote, Happy Father's Day to all the Titans, moms, and fatherly figures, unquote. I'm like, what the hell? You know, it took me a second. I saw the post, and I'm like, what's anybody complaining at? And then I'm like, oh, hell! Hell no! So the post was deleted by them, too. It was so stupid. I mean, y'all losers on the field and off the field. Y'all been losers since Warren Moon, Dan Pastorini. Despite their greatness and Earl Campbell, y'all couldn't get squat done. And now y'all even worse. On top of that, even their draft. I'm not a big Cam Hayward fan. I don't know. I don't think he's a franchise QB, and it's just weak quarterback class in a down year. So I just do not see a great future for that team, but hopefully I'm wrong. You know, I like that kid's attitude. You know, he's all business. You know, football's his game. He's the type of kid you want to see succeed. So I hope I am wrong. Regardless, the Titans deleted their posts. Now their posts align with the culture wars. I mean, how leftist slime they're trying to confuse gender roles and family definitions to push transgender, LGBTQ, everything but the heterosexual mother, heterosexual father to the nuclear family. Oh, that's too white. No, it's all over the world. You get a nuclear family and that society is going to be much better. You know, back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, what they don't want to tell you is black America, they had nuclear families. They were growing. They were starting to prosper. The Democrats were still keeping them down, which is what caused the civil rights movements. And yes, people, that's a fact. Go look it up. But then the Democrats took over and said, we're going to tell you how to live your life. And since the 60s, the black community has struggled. And now they're just taking all this nuclear family and trying to trash it from the rest of America. The other pronouns, the genderism, stating your kid knows from the point he's born whether they're transgender or not. It's disgusting. Disgusting. So there's increased pressure on teams to adopt inclusive messaging. You know, Pride Month, they get a whole month. Veterans, we only get one day. Hell, our greatest presidents only get one day. You know, luckily, Pride Month kind of like was minimal this past year because people are finally seeing it for what it is. And what happens when they decide not to acknowledge Pride Month? They get criticism. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? And here's the thing. There was this who was it, a wrestler, MMA guy? I can't remember. It was a comic. It was some kind of sci-fi convention. And the guy is conservative. They asked him to come. He paid the fees and all to come. You know, we're not talking about big. We're talking about an up-and-coming guy. And then they got some pushback, the convention organizer. How dare you bring this conservative Nazi here? First, they were lying, but the guy got scared. So while he's talking to the guy, and the organizer telling him, hey, you know, it's not your fault. It's this is what I really believe, but I don't want to lose people, lose business. The guy who was being ostracized taped it, and he released that tape. They took a picture of that convention when it happened. That convention's lucky if it got 500 people that whole weekend. And I don't feel bad for the organizers. They said, I'll put my house on. It's collateral. So what? Go live in a box. Because you bent the knee. And you need to look in the mirror as to why your convention failed. Because you bent the knee to people who don't go. Just a bunch of basement dwelling backwater people. Living in mama's basement scares you. And that's what they try to do to some of these NFL teams, these same types of people. Now, so what does inclusion of moms mean? I was confused with that. Is it a broader societal shift? So it's recognizing a diverse family structure? That's what came to my mind. But it clashes with Father's Day. I mean, us fathers or fathers, we don't get our due. They don't get their due. And now they're trying to impugn on it. Mother's Day already happened. Well, can't get enough of that mother? Mama? It's a day dedicated to honoring fathers, not mothers. You have your day. And then you have every day of the rest of the year because there's a bond between the mother and the kids that fathers will never have. It's probably some woke intern who hopefully has been let go. Whatever reason they give or have given does not matter because it's useless and it's not true. It's Father's Day. It's not mother. It's not fatherly figures. You know what? I wouldn't be shocked if it was a girl intern who did it. So there's no official statement from the Titans because they're cowards. Cowards. I hope you, some of these Titans boycott them again this year. Yeah, but was it maybe an acknowledgement stemming from Pride Month, wanting to keep it going? I don't know. Transgender advocacy? I don't know. We don't know. But what was some of the public reaction? Tommy Lauren, a woman who's worked hard. She didn't come from poverty. She worked hard, made a big name for herself, living large. She expressed disbelief, asking if the post was fake. Another individual on social media, Artifice Nation, noted the soft language, implying it lacked a masculine tone. Again, the theory is just some girl who posted it. Thomas Thomad Lund, another ex account, called it pathetic, criticizing the unnecessary inclusivity. I fall with you, Mr. Lund. Ian Jaeger labeled it bizarre, questioning the departure from a simple Father's Day message. And that's the key. Send a simple Father's Day message and you bleep it up. Does the NFL hate strong male role models? One poster said. And obviously, and I agree with him, this is part of the woke culture. And another poster told the Titans, and this goes to the NFL, know who your audience is. Don't disconnect. That happened with Kaepernick. And y'all were beat the hell down in ticket sales. The only thing that saved you guys were these television contracts. But some of your ratings were down too. Which means y'all lost, you didn't lose money, but you didn't make as much money. Because what happens in those deals is the network, actually, they made like fat rats. It was the networks that lost out. It was also the networks who weren't allowing the anthem to be played. And somebody said, oh, in God, they cut that out. So I'm glad the networks lost money. Teams didn't, and that's kind of what saved them. But their ticket sales, way down that year, those years. But back to this debacle. their post has been analyzed from a cultural and social context, and nobody still really knows why they did something that stupid. I don't know. Let's move on. Let's move on to damn Levitard's attack on Trump's immigration policy. And that completely ignores law and order. You guys who follow me, you knew I would get Trump into this. So Dan Lipitard on his radio show accused President Trump's ICE raids as a deliberate attempt to target minorities and prioritize a whiter America. It's a flat-out lie, white man. Lipitard. You know, Lipitard, I'm Latino too, and actually I've got the bloodline that we're all mixed. But Lipitard, not Cubans. If they're white Cubans, there's no mixture in them. They've kept their Spaniard lineage intact. And Cubans, a lot of Cubans did that on purpose. They didn't want to mix. Us Panamanians, Puerto Ricans, we don't care. Love and lust. So, Lipitard's career, let's put his career in context. You know, he's always been a leftist swine. And guy, look at the way he eats. Let's put it in mildly. Anyway, he questioned why ESPN prioritizes Pat McAfee over him. Well, it's because Pat McAfee brings people in. You didn't, Dan. And he was ignoring McAfee's, let me trigger him, superior show. The popularity of it, how it focused on sports content, and how much better it is than Dan Lipitard's show, who became political when people wanted to talk and hear about sports. Now, this show, well, we're doing the same thing. Well, that's what this show's about. Sports and culture, how it collides. And what does Lipitard always do? He plays a victim. So again, he accused Trump of using ICE deportations to, quote, make this country whiter, unquote, through, quote, overt political and hateful, unquote, means. What a loser. And he argued that Trump's approach manipulates laws to criminalize minorities, stating, quote, who gets to decide what's illegal and criminal when you're just going to violate the Supreme Court and democracy and the Constitution. Dan, my man, you fat slob. Instead of stuffing your face, that's Dan. Step away from the buffet line. Step away from the buffet line. Wipe the face off. Because you're just a slob. I mean, you look like a slob, bro. And learn and understand the laws. Because it does none of that. And then he says his immigration enforcement unfairly targets brown and black people. First of all, it's not black people mostly. It's mostly brown. Why? Well, when there's about 50 million and maybe 85% of those are all brown, statistically, that's just going to happen. You see, I'm not afraid to talk the ugly truth. See, whereas Dan would look at a white guy, how dare you raise a better carajo, puerco? That's my take to him. And then he frames it where even peaceful protests are in danger. But he does acknowledge illegal criminals, because he doesn't want to completely lose the audience with the lie, should be deported. But he suggests Trump's policies broadly target minorities. No, they don't. And let's be clear. Every single illegal alien is a criminal. Once they cross the border, they're a criminal. You'll never get me to change my mind, because that is true. Period. End of story. But what do you expect from a far-left sportscaster like El Puerco Dan Lipitard? So, if you want to look at real racism, Dan, why did ESPN dump you, a white Cuban who's a bigot and kept all the black bigots? The irony! The irony! So, Lipitard, he just completely ignores the fact of enforcing immigration laws. So, I'm going to talk about this on my Fired Up this week. Make sure you tune in live stream Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern. We all who follow politics heard about the big raid in Nebraska or Oklahoma, one of those two states. It's in my notes. And literally the whole factory went down because this guy who lied and says he didn't realize he had so many illegals. You know those things. I've been around it. Yes, you do know. Everybody was shocked. Oh, look at all these Americans applying. A lot of them were lower income. A lot of them were Spanish speakers, but they were American citizens. Well, nobody wants to do those jobs, William. And that's one of the biggest lies anybody had ever said. And I'm sick of it. You know, just because somebody says they won't do it, when they're hunting for a job, you take what's there and you work your way up. That's the American way. You make yourself better, stronger, and you learn from that. Lebatar's are just a bigot. Legal immigration benefits the nation, while unchecked illegal immigration strains our resources and public safety. Look at Springfield, Illinois. Their whole infrastructure has been destroyed. Everybody has been put out of jobs because these corporate-owned construction companies that are building in there are hiring nothing but illegals. That's where they need to be doing the raids. Dan Lebatar is a bigot, period, end of story. There you have it, my friends. A quick down and dirty show. There's so much to talk about, but it's like it quickly came about that I was able to get all this working. And these are stories that I was sitting in the queue. I'm like, I'm going to talk about these. But there's so much out there to talk about, and I will get to all that. And I need you to make sure, though, you like and share this show. You know, I mean, we talked about the WNBA, how big a superstar Caitlin Clark is becoming. Yet how the bigotry, racism of the WNBA itself is keeping the league down. And in turn, Clark, too. We talked about Brittany Grenier. I don't remember what I said to. I never said it. But the video, Brittany, shows you bleeping white girl. Oh, no. What you're seeing didn't happen. Then we talked about the NFL and the Titans. Not only are they losers on the field, they're losers off the field. I will be rooting against them every game. I will relish the fact every time they lose, every time they go down. Bam, bam, oh yeah. And you know, I'm not even a fan of their head coach. Their head coach came from the Bengals. Joe Burrow made that head coach. Now that he's got to stand on his own, he's showing his true colors. Not very good. I don't think he'll last this season. I don't think he's that great of a head coach, to be quite frank. And then my favorite, my least favorite Cubano, El Puerco, Dan Lebatar. His dad's no better. Dad's an idiot, too. And he's had him on the show, so he's fair game. For y'all wondering, hey, you kind of mean, William, man. I was told today I'm a betrayer to the Latino cause. Don't listen to me. This, that. I get attacked myself. So take a hike. But that said, my friends, I hope you have enjoyed this show. Again, like and share this podcast. That's how I will grow. Make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You can find my, obviously, Points on the Board there. You can find the Red, White, and Rude, which is my cultural podcast, where I talk about the intersectionality of politics and culture. Because remember, politics is downstream of culture, and whatever happens in this country eventually affects politics. And that includes Points on the Board, sports. You find my Fired Up California, my Fired Up National Issues podcast. And you'll also find Libertarian, Pure Play Sports Podcast, football, basketball. Lots of stuff there. So bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora. Thank you for tuning in. It's great to be back. And until next week, I am William Del Pilar, and I bid you adieu.